This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Next, we're going to have a conversation about the taxi industry. And it has been an ongoing conversation. And you remember that earlier on this year as well, we had that conversation about the taxi industry following the report that was issued by the Competition Commission in relation to how it is unfair that the taxi industry is not getting a subsidy like the buses as well as the trains. Hey, and speaking about the trains, looking at what's happening with the trains right now, right? So, if the trains are not able to operate at an optimal level, right, that means that that places pressure on another industry. And one of those industries would be the taxi industry. There is a new that development in Mooikloof. That development in Mooikloof, the taxi industry and just the nature of the taxi industry would mean that the taxi industry would be able to tap into that new market that will be made available, you know, because the taxi industry is not as rigid as, for instance, the railway is and buses. Buses, because of how huge the buses are, and the minibus taxi is, of course, much smaller. But if you have that, if you have an industry that is so flexible, how then do you respond to that industry to make sure that that industry becomes even more beneficial to the people who use taxis? And earlier on, one of the tweets that we got in relation to the conversation that we had were people with special needs, because that's another conversation that we need to have, that taxis, well, buses, and some of those buses which are offered by the government, including the BRT, are not able to go where the taxi can go. But the taxi doesn't necessarily accommodate somebody with disabilities. It's not made for somebody with disabilities. Again, this means that the state now needs to respond to that. Siyabulela Fobosi, who is a senior researcher at UNESCO, Oliver Tambo, Chair of Human Rights, University of Fort Hare, is joining us, and he's done some research on the taxi industry, and some of the things that you may hear during this conversation as well are things that we've touched on before. But I'd love you to contribute to this conversation as well on 0861 987 000, your tweets at Alderan Simpier, hashtag Power Talk, and also you can tweet at PowerFM987. Siyabulela, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Adrian, and good morning to the listeners. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making time for us. So out of the research that you've done, and also looking back at the taxi industry pre-democracy, what is it that you can tell us about how the state has responded in various stages this is to the taxi industry, including pre-democracy?
Thank you, Adrian. You'll remember that the industry developed around the 1970s, the history is traced back to the 1930s. By the industry during that time, it was highly regulated during the 1970s, and it became deregulated around 1987. And then there was an increasing number of people, who were operators, who became operators at the time. But then there was also a large number of people who were operating illegally, and they were not given, operating license, but as democracy came, in 1994, there was then a national taxi test team which was recommended, which was actually implemented in 1995, and also recommended that there must be a formalization of the industry. But that formalization has been used, by the people involved in the industry, the taxi operators, that has been used as a top-down process. So that the government is not engaging in the industry. So So the taxi operators have displayed some form of unwillingness to actually engage with the process. To say, look, government is not engaging with the industry, so therefore we see this process as a process to take the business away from us as taxi operators. So one of the things that I think is characterizing, you know, the failures or the delayed formalization process is what I would call a strategic selectivity by the states, you know, where the government, you know, privileges the formalized public transport and ignore the informal one. So that's what has resulted in the delayed process. Because, I mean, this formalization process has been talked about for quite some time. You know? And I'm happy that now that process is going to be discussed again through the National Taxi Locomotive.
And looking at some of those conversations that have started at the Taxi Lekgotla, the National Taxi Lekgotla, including, I think, Gauteng also had one of those meetings that took place earlier in this year, if I'm not mistaken. Do you get some positive signs that are coming out of there?
Yeah, I know. In Gauteng, there's the Commission of Inquiry on Tax Violence. Though they have engaged with me to some extent on some of the issues, you know, and also so I think there is some positive, you know, coming up, you know, to say, look, the government is engaging, you know, with the taxi operators and with Santaco, with NTA. To actually find, you know, some of the reasons they are not engaging, you know, on the process of formalization. So I think there is some positive. I'm hopeful that the taxi operators will be participating in the coming National Taxi Makgotla, and also I'm hoping that they are participating in the current provincial Makgotla.
Okay, so 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin Simpier, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. So we're in conversation with Siyabulela Fobosi, and we're looking at the taxi industry and how the taxi industry can change, if at all, it would change. And what are some of the impediments that you think that stand in front of the formalization of the taxi industry? But when we speak about the formalization of the taxi industry, we also need to speak about the reform of the taxi industry, because there are certain things that are happening in the taxi industry that must come to an end. You speak about the taxi violence, and our reporter Ramtsin Ngola has looked into this as well. Number one is the taxi violence. There's another conversation to be had about how the argument is that there's a lack of. But is it fair to say that there is a lack of unity in the taxi industry when the taxi industry is actually organized? Organized amongst various taxi associations? Sure. But still, it is organized. Siyabulela, would you agree with that?
Thank you, Adrian. I would agree, definitely. I mean, the industry has... as you know, it is different people with their own interests. There's one taxi owner, taxi operator, who has maybe about 5 or 10 taxis, and then there's another one, you know, who's got his own or her own taxi. So they have their own interests, even though they are affiliated, you know, under one association, and then that association affiliates, you know, under maybe Santaco, NTA, National Taxi Alliance. So they have different interests. So then you find out that even within the what they call executives, you know, of the industry, they have disagreements on some of the decisions that are taken. So then, so hence I've actually recommended, you know, over the years that look, I think there needs to be a point where these guys sit down and say, look, how can we change the management structure, and how can we change the legacy structure so that we benefit, you know, from the government, you know, subsidy. So I think there needs to be a time to really sit down to really, you know, find a way forward within the industry.
Yeah. You know, Sabalela, I find it a bit difficult to accept what you're saying. Because when we speak about a taxi association, that taxi association has its own rules and code of conduct. And whether or not the people who join the taxi association are only 5 or 100, Oksalayo, that taxi association has its rules and its code of conduct. So which means that these 100 people who own 5, 10 taxis amongst each other as individuals, they have a code of conduct that they should adhere to, which means then that they are actually organized.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because and the reason that I'm raising this is also that when we speak about the formalization of the taxi industry, what I'm trying to warn against as well is that once we create the taxi industry to become a homogeneous group like it currently is at the moment, where everybody follows the same rules, the same things, this is what happens, that is what happens, it then also means that competition in the taxi industry will not lead to innovation. And that's what we need in the taxi industry.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I mean, even though there's taxi operators, you know, as you have just put it, you know, they affiliate in that association and they follow those rules, you know, but still they have their own interests, you know. So, because, for example, one taxi owner I spoke to, I said, look, I don't agree with the way things are done, you know. So I've got a lucky operate this way, you know. But then, for example, I have to pay this amount of money to affiliate, you know, and this is a lot. So I think, you know, if the taxi operators, you know, themselves can sit down and look at the possibility of you know, implementing some sort of taxi coverage, you know, something that will be recognized, you know, by government, you know, so to say, look, this is what we are doing.
Yeah.
Because at this stage, you know, there's many taxi operators and there's many taxi associations, yeah. You know.
And I'm thinking about this, like, just imagine being able to take a taxi that where the owner has decided that emateksinwam guzobane certain things that the passengers would enjoy, like I'll give them water, I'll give them free Wi-Fi, I'll give them soft cushions and so forth.
Yeah.
So as a taxi operator, I'm able to respond to that, particular need. I live in Alberton. I'd love to take a taxi from Alberton. It will be much cheaper than even taking an Uber. But I also want that comfort. And if a taxi operator says that I'm able to provide that comfort, why shouldn't they be allowed to do that?
Yeah. Definitely, Adrian. You know, there needs to, you know, move toward that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that there's still a long way toward the process.
Yeah.
Because currently, as I say, you know, until, you know, there's willingness, you know, from the taxi operators themselves.
Yeah.
And until there's willingness, you know, from the government, you know, to actually sit down to say, look, how can you change the reimagine, as they put it, you know, in the national taxi quota?
Yeah.
How can you reimagine the taxi?
Yes.
To actually become better, you know, to actually say, look, a commuter can use a taxi from point A to point B, you know, in a very comfortable way.
Yeah.
You know, because the industry really very much contributes a lot of money to the economy.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think it needs to be changed for the better.
Yeah. So 0619870000. You can also tweet at Alderan St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM97. Because what you need to think about is that, imagine the community, the network that you create in a taxi. And people who have taken taxis, you would know about this, that when you get into a taxi and the conversations that you have in a taxi. Now, imagine if I'm able to have those type of conversations. Being able to have those type of conversations in a taxi, I'm sure by the time Nifiga emsebenzini, Ingqondo izoba seyivuthiwe, and even the product that I'll be delivering to you would be much better. But what does it also mean for somebody who works at a net bank, for instance, somebody who works in the financial sector and the formal economy, being able to sit in a taxi where you guys have debates about the economy? And that's what we mean about reimagining the taxi industry. Because right now, we already know that the taxi industry provides that network of people who come together, convert in one place, which is, of course, the taxi rank. But they will be in that taxi together from point A to point B. Okay, there's a question here from Uluyanda. Says, to what extent did the taxi recapitalization program attempt to formalize the taxi industry?
So to reply to that one, so the taxi recap, right, so its main purpose when it was introduced in 1999 and later implemented in 2007, so the main purpose was to scrap, you know, the old taxis and replace them with a new one, you know, I think 1860 So and replace, so the drivers, you know, were given, sorry, operators were given an amount of 50,000 to which was called a scraping allowance, to have their old taxis scrapped, and then they would buy new taxis. But then they complained that that money was not enough, you know, because as you know, taxis, you know, cost a lot of money. So between 2006, when the program was implemented, until 2018, about 72,000 taxis, old taxis, were cut, you know, against the target of 135,000. So the program, you know, did not do well as much, you know, as it was planned. You know, so in some of the failings, you know, of the program, you know, had to do with the fact that most of the taxi authorities did not have operating licenses, and still up until this day, some of them don't have operating licenses.
Yeah.
And one of the requirements of the program was that the taxi owners must have operating licenses to have taxi spread. You know, so the program was later revised last year, 2019. To become a revised taxi recapitalization program. So it's now in the process, you know, of being implemented, you know, and then new taxes being cut. And I understand under the revised taxi recap is the changing of money structure, the changing of the working conditions in the industry. So I am hopeful that those will be achieved.
Okay. On Twitter, Lister says, I think if the taxis were safe and professional, they will get more customers. There are small trips that one won't mind to leave his car and take a taxi, certainly. Even Noguya Bumnandin. Exactly. But just quickly, Sabulela, in conclusion then, the question around the financing of the taxi industry, and I know that I think it was about 2 years ago, there was a conversation around a bank that would be owned by the taxi industry, and there was also a conversation about how do you, as the taxi industry, invest in your own, but what do they call it again? Your own plants to assemble taxis locally.
Yeah. I know that Aldrin, there are talks about some private banks, you know, so that will be discussed, you know, in the National Financial Quarter.
You know, private banks, like banks that already exist.
So like a private bank that is owned, you know, by the taxi operators. You know, so that is one. And there's also taxi cooperatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so something that is then owned by the taxi taxi owners, taxi operators, so where they come together to say, look, how about we implement some sort of a taxi cooperative or some sort of a private bank where we'll then, you know, invest all of the money that we generate, you know. So that will be discussed, you know, in my understanding, in this national taxi quarter. And I look forward to hear some of the findings, you know, and the recommendations, you know, moving forward. Because as you know, that the industry is currently not being financed by government. It only receives the form of funding in the form of capital subsidy, which is what we just discussed, the scrapping allowance. So it is hopeful that the industry will be financed or subsidized in the coming year, in the coming financial year. So that's one of the findings that hopefully will be discussed, you know, in the coming national quarter.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Siyabulela Fobosi there, senior researcher at UNESCO, Oliver Tambo, who's also chair of Human Rights, University of Fort Hare.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.